It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America on this Thursday. I'm going to get you a little bit closer to the weekend. I'm going to get you a little bit closer to Friday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. It's a 4-hour show. We get started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Where you been for the first hour? We talked about Bill Belichick. Amazing move for North Carolina to bring in Belichick. He says, I'm not here just to leave. Thank you, Belichick. We appreciate that. Talked about Juan Soto also being introduced as the newest member of the New York Mets. We got more to get into as well. How about this? In 20 minutes from now, we're going to be joined by Lee Pace, University of North Carolina sideline reporter. In about an hour from now, we got some Thursday night football. We got the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers both jockeying for position to still make the postseason coming out of the NFC. We'll get into that in a few minutes. If you want to talk to me, you can. The phone number here, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hey, if you missed the last hour, or just in general, you want to listen to this show? The free Odyssey app, F-R-E-E. Yeah, that's free. Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can listen on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. If you have a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we even talked about Kirk Cousins. He's still got a job. Atlanta Falcons are not giving him the boot. They're not putting Michael Penix in yet. I say give it time. You know, put any cliche that you want there. Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Yeah, I don't know. You let the horse out the barn. You can put the horse back in the barn, but it's difficult. He's running wild. He's out. Trust Kirk Cousins. He said he's the vet. Penix is the unknown. If you put Penix out there, you're flipping the coin on the whole season. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. We'll get more into that. Everybody got choices, and choices are not always easy, except for a couple of the choices we talked about last hour, right? Was it a difficult choice for North Carolina to hire Belichick? I don't think so. That sounds like an easy choice to me. Is it a difficult choice for the New York Mets to hand Juan Soto $765 million? If I'm Juan Soto, that sounds like an easy choice to me, too. And he's like, oh, Mets treat my family better than the Yankees. Okay, fine. Who wants to be somewhere where their family is treating them like crap? Nobody. I'm not saying that the Yankees did. They just said, hey, you got to pay for your suite. And yeah, maybe we were not so nice to your parents, your family. Okay, whatever. They're giving his family security. Good for them. Good for him. Everybody got choices. You got choices, too. Thank you for being here. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to talk about the 49ers and the Rams. We're going to have that chat with Lee Pace from UNC, their sideline reporter. He'll be here. But right now, I'm going to talk to you. Let me say the number again, 855-212-4227. Marty is calling up from Westchester. Marty, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Yes, hi, JR. Yes, I'd like to talk about the Soto situation with the Mets. Obviously, as a Yankee fan, I am disappointed, but I'm not surprised at all. I told my fellow Yankee fans during the course of the summer to watch out for Steve Cohen come free agent time, because he has the financial wherewithal to sign the big name, and he certainly did. And, you know, Soto, I saw the press conference today. It was well done. As far as the Yankees are concerned, they're just going to have to reload. They already started with Max Fried. There's already rumors to the effect that they're talking about maybe Christian Walker for first, or Bellinger, Kyle Tucker. There's a whole name floating around. So I'm sure Cashman will do his due diligence and try to fill these holes to, keep the Yankees at a high level.
As the Yankees always do, Marty. Hey, sometimes what you don't get is the best present than what you do receive. Hey, we'll see, Marty. Thank you, man.
Thank you. You have a good weekend, JR.
You as well. Thank you, Marty, for calling from Westchester. Like, we've all heard that before, right? Sometimes you really, really, really want something, and it doesn't work out. And then works out, you get something better, right? Hickey, that's happened. It happens to you every day, Hickey, right?
Every day.
Right? You want something that doesn't happen and better things? Yeah. What is that? What is that? If one door closes, jump through a window? Is that what? How? What does that thing go?
What?
How's the cliche go? When one door closes,
another opens.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Damn.
What did
Are
I
you
say?
The one breaking into all these houses?
Did I say something criminal?
Oh, when one door closes, breaking a window. Breaking the house.
No. Don't send Joe Burrow after me, okay?
Oh, my God.
No.
Although, listen, I kind of like yours because one door opens another, or one door closes another opens, makes it seem like you kind of got to wait for another door to open. Where yours is just like, you're going to get it. Like, I'm getting this no matter what. You're determined. So I'm going to, if the door's shut, I'm going to break the window. I'm getting this no matter what.
Yeah, I'm getting what I need. Like that Denzel meme. I'm leaving with something. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I'm leaving with something. Shout outs to Denzel. Hickey, I need to see that movie. What's that movie Denzel's in right now? The Gladiator 2. Did you see it?
I've not seen Gladiator 1, although I'm intrigued. I'd like to see it. Okay. But I've not seen that. But Gladiator 2 does look pretty good. I did not know Denzel was in it, but
yeah,
I'd like to see it as well.
Either Denzel's in it, I need to see it. Not really. I don't remember the last Denzel movie I saw. Last Denzel movie I remember was Training Day. It was a long time ago. That also, like Juan Soto, Juan Soto would not remember that movie either. I don't know what Juan Soto's 26 years old. He doesn't remember Training Day. He can buy a movie theater now. Good for him. 855-212-4. He could buy a couple of movies. Why would he do that? He could just invest in Netflix. Better idea, Juan. Better idea. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Scott is here from Wisconsin. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Scott?
Well, one, you got to love Denzel Washington. No matter what he does, it's golden.
What? What did you say? What?
Denzel Washington. Whatever he does, it's good.
Okay. I thought you were talking. The way you spoke was just, I didn't know what the hell you were saying. Thank you. I understand.
Sorry. I'm in Wisconsin, and it's 2 degrees outside, so I'm a little cold.
Okay. You're outside in the physical outside? It sounds like you're in a vehicle.
I'm in my car, but I'm still cold.
Oh, you don't got heat?
I got heat, but I'm still cold.
Oh, come on. You're from Wisconsin. Do better.
I'm from California, so.
Oh, well, that's your problem.
Figure that one out. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
Between the Niners and the Rams. I don't know. I don't think it matter whose wins. They're picking at apples right now, just hoping to get in.
Yeah. Well, do you really trust Seattle? I mean, how about this?
Here's a kicker for you.
Right.
I live in Wisconsin. I'm from California, but I'm a Broncos fan. So figure that one out.
You're military. I don't know. You travel for work.
No, I don't anymore. I was military.
Yeah.
But no, I finished high school in Colorado, and it's a long story, but anyways.
All right. You, like a lot of people, bounce around. But thank you, Scott.
But I'm a first-time caller for your show. I love how smooth and mellow you are during your show. And whatever that sound bite is at the beginning where it says, I don't know, in a high pitch, I love it. I don't know why. Love your show.
Well, thank
I'll
you,
let
Scott.
You go.
All right. Thank you. No problem. Yeah, that's Hickey. Who wants to tell him that's from a Jay-Z song? Do I tell him? I guess I did. I just told him.
You let him know. And as Charles Black would say, not a great time.
Not a great time. By the way, the NFL says we're not moving off of Roc Nation, Jay-Z's company, from producing a halftime show. He's like, listen, we're going to go by the presumed innocent until proven guilty aspect of things. Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you for the nice words. And he's like, I'm from California. I went to school. Did he say he went to school in Colorado? Now he's in Wisconsin. Is that what he said?
Now he said he finished high school, I believe, is what he phrased it as, in Colorado.
Oh, so maybe he's an Air Force guy. I guess. Shout out to all Air Force people and military in Colorado. Maybe. I don't know. I'm assuming. I have no idea. But here, let me put a stamp of finality when it comes to the NFC West. Since everybody's all smashed up together, the Seahawks are 8-5, the Rams are 7-6, San Francisco is 6-7, and Arizona, which is the most up and down, you don't know what the hell to expect week to week team in the entire NFL, Arizona is 6-7. And none of these teams in the NFC West are holding a candle to the Lions. Dare I say, the Vikings. I can keep on going. And they're not touching the Eagles. I know the Eagles are all beefing right now as to the relationship between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. But everybody battling it out in the NFC West, they're battling out for like second and third place. And hypothetically speaking, not necessarily exactly to the standings. I don't believe in none of these teams. You trust Geno? You trust the Rams and their young defense? I do like Puka Nacua. That guy is a freak. He's a beast. It's like he's a tough, you know what? He got hair like a caveman, a beard like a caveman, and he plays like one. I just told you how I feel about Arizona. In San Francisco, we know they're not doing nothing with no Christian McCaffrey. They're not. Come on. And Ayuk is hurt. Come on. Trent Williams has been hurt and unfortunately has had to deal with family tragedy. Come on. They're on to their fourth running back right now. The running back they had in last week, Garendo, he got hurt. Come on. 49ers are a waste of time for this season. I'm going to go with the Rams here. I know the 49ers are at home. I'm going to go with the Rams. Just beat Buffalo on Sunday. Just got over 500. They're trying for their first three-game winning streak. Matthew Stafford has been hot. The man hasn't thrown an interception in the last four games. The Rams, it's like tag, and the Rams are it. They're moving. You know, then this is a team, the Rams, that already beat the 49ers earlier this season, but there was no Puka Nacua. There was no Cooper Kupp. And even the 49ers are different given all these injuries that they've had to sustain, or they have sustained throughout the course of the year. Sean McVay, no longer the boy genius, just, I guess, a genius. He says, man, yeah, we beat them, but they're a different team. They're different.
No matter what's really happened in terms of the trajectory of the injuries, they're going to be ready to go, and we're going to do our best to get our guys ready to roll, and it's going to be a great challenge and opportunity. And I think the familiarity only, you know, gives that much more respect knowing what they've done, but what they're capable of as well. And so we're excited about the challenge.
Somebody tell Sean McVay. Hickey, I know you can't tell him. I can't tell him. Why doesn't somebody tell him his microphone sounds fine? He doesn't need to yell at us. Somebody tell him that.
He's just filled with so much enthusiasm that maybe this guy will lower the microphone.
He needs decaf. Come on, man. This guy needs decaf. His quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Anyway, Matthew Stafford has been playing great. And he says, yeah, the 49ers have got a great defense. Hey, Greenlaw's coming back. He got hurt in the Super Bowl.
There's no weak spots on this defense. They're really solid in all aspects. You know, corners are playing at a high level. Safeties are talented players. Their backers are as good as it gets. So, you know, top to bottom, talent-wise, they're way up there. And then, obviously, they're well-coached.
Yeah, whatever. They hurt. I just told you they're hurt. And I also mentioned how the Philadelphia Eagles, everybody on the Eagles, they're all yelling about who gets the ball right now, whether or not they throw it enough. They've on a 9-game winning streak, right? Man, the 49ers, they got a bunch of dudes hurt. Ayuk is out for the year, and we got Debo, you know, is talking about, hey, they don't throw me the ball. You know, hey, I'm not having success because I'm not getting touches. And so Kyle Shanahan is having to answer questions, and Purdy is having to answer questions. And Kyle Shanahan, he talked about Debo's demand for the ball, and he said, yeah, sure.
Debo and I talk every day, so, I mean, I understand Debo saying that. Debo wants to help us out, and the only way he helps us out is getting the ball more, and we'd like to get it to him more, and we'll continue to work at that.
Well, how the hell are you going to balance out the entire offense if he wants the ball more? Tell me. Juwan Jennings got to take a seat back. Tell me.
I mean, I liked how we played last week. So, I mean, it's a week-to-week thing. It's, you know, we played good in that game. And, you know, I thought we hadn't played that well the previous 3 weeks. You know, we did versus Tampa the week before that. So, we haven't been as consistent as we'd like, and hopefully we can string two games together in a row here.
Well, if you do what the hell you did last week, Deebo Samuel is still going to be mad. The man has 97 scrimmage yards in the last four games. If I were a betting man, I'm not, I'd be betting on Deebo Samuel to have a big game today. And, you know, these teams in the NFC West, they're so up and down and back and forth. It's hard to pick anybody. 49ers are 6-7. They're hurt. The Rams are 7-6. It's just, this is a tough one. 49ers are at home. I want to take the Rams in an upset. This is going to be a close one. Hickey, this is a field goal game, man. Field goal game.
I think so. I think it'll be a close game. The 49ers are dominant over the Rams. Historically, outside of the first game or first time these two teams met, just has me leaning 49ers are healthier. Give them the Niners at home.
Okay. All right. Niners at home. I'll take the Rams on the road. We'll see what happens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We got to wait for that game. Kickoff is about 45 minutes away, but you don't have to wait much longer because in 5 minutes, we're going to have a chat with Lee Pace. He covers all things UNC. I'm talking North Carolina. We're going to ask him about the arrival of Bill Belichick, what we can expect from recruits Belichick. We'll ask him about the press conference and more. Don't move. Lee Pace on the other side to talk Belichick and UNC. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. What a day, what a day. What a month. We just talked about Juan Soto, officially introduced as the newest member of the New York Mets, $765 million. Earlier today down in Chapel Hill, Bill Belichick was introduced as the newest head coach of the University of North Carolina football team. Who would have thought? To talk about Bill Belichick's arrival, what it means, some of his responses today at the press conference, we're being joined by UNC sideline reporter Lee Pace. Lee, how are you?
Doing great, JR. It's been a fascinating day around Carolina football the last week, and a very interesting and fun afternoon this afternoon when Bill Belichick was introduced as the Carolina head coach.
Now, for you personally, Lee, we've all heard about this for the better part of a week now. Has it been settled in that this is a reality? It had to, or did it settle in this afternoon at the press conference?
It's gradually settled in over the last week. I will admit that last Friday when rumors started to take hold, that I was totally dismissive of them, that I did not think that Belichick would be a good match for Carolina. I didn't understand why he would be interested. And I was quite skeptical, as were many, many, many people. And the thought then was just it was both sides were just kind of having tap dancing around one another, kind of a courtesy conversations. But obviously they were much more sincere than any of us really understood, particularly from you know, if you look at why would Bill Belichick be interested, I think there were a lot of dominoes that fell. Number one goes from his family's connection to Chapel Hill. His dad, Steve, was an assistant coach at Carolina in the mid-1950s, and there's a great picture of a three-year-old Bill sitting in the bleachers in Keenan Stadium that I used in my book 10 years ago on called Football in the Forest on Keenan Stadium. He would make scouting trips to Carolina, to Chapel Hill. He enjoyed the campus, enjoyed the experience. He had a close kinship to college football because his dad spent his entire career in college football. And Bill grew up in Annapolis with his father coaching at the Navy Academy. And I think that, a year outside of the NFL, he spent some time with his son, Stephen, at the University of Washington. He said today he got a lot of phone calls from college coaches wanting some advice and some opinion from him as to some of the rules changes taking root in college football that were coming from the NFL. So I think it was just a lot of things that came together to make him interested in Chapel Hill and in college football at this particular point in time.
UNC sideline reporter Lee Pace is here with us. Lee, Bill Belichick saved his shortest and more pointed words to pretty much tell everybody, I didn't come here to leave. Do you believe this is going to be the last stop on Bill Belichick's coaching journey, whether it be in the pros or in college?
I think the tea leaves from what I saw and heard today and things I've read, it could very well be. Nothing's in stone, certainly, but I don't think this is a ploy to cool his jets for a couple of years and then get back to the NFL. I think he is sincerely interested in this. I think he looks at it as a challenge. I think he looks at it, this is kind of going back to school, to college, to a different environment. There will be some frustrations in dealing with a public university and all the politics that come with it, opposed to, being able to simply bivouac yourself and grind away in the NFL where you have simply one owner to answer to and that's it. But I think he'll adjust. I think he'll adapt. I don't think that either Carolina or Belichick would have agreed to do this if they hadn't had very frank and honest conversations about how it would be different for him, and both of us come to a sense of comfort and acceptance of those.
Well, Lee, we know that Bill Belichick, one of the most successful coaches, period, every and anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's college, the NFL. He's just one of the most successful coaches in any sport history, period. Tenure things didn't end all that well in New England with the Patriots. What are the full expectations here for Belichick over the next 3 to potentially 5 years? Are we talking, hey, we'd be good with an ACC championship? Are we talking playoff? What do you think is realistic?
Well, certainly if you did win the ACC, you would be in the playoffs. Chancellor Lee Roberts said today that our goal has always been to be the number one public institution in the country and to be excellent in everything we do, whether it's academics, research, or athletics. And Carolina has had numerous national champions in basketball, in women's soccer, in lacrosse, in field hockey, in so many sports, and the same expectation is there for football. So Mac Brown made a comment within the last couple years that I don't think he meant it quite this way, but it was after an 8-4 season. He said, 8 wins is pretty good around here, and a lot of people did not take that well because Carolina people don't want to settle for 8 wins. They want more than that. They've been frustrated that they have not been able to get more than that on a consistent basis. They did have the Larry Fedora 11-1 year in 2015, and Mac Brown's 2 back-to-back top 10 years in 96 and 97, but they just haven't been consistent. And there is a desperate longing and desire among many, many people in Chapel Hill to be good at football and be good consistently and be really good. And I think they are anteing up. They're pushing all their chips into the table, and they're going to give Bill Belichick the resources that he needs, particularly with NIL money and having a budget to go out and sign players and retain them, which Carolina has struggled to do in the 4-year history of NIL.
It's the sideline reporter for UNC, Lee Paces, joining us here, the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. What does the next few weeks, the next few months look like for Bill Belichick? We know that there's a bowl game. We know that Kitchens is still on staff. And what is the next step for Bill Belichick as a part of this program?
Well, he's got a lot on his plate right now, JR. He's number one. He's got to hire staff, and he said today that some people he would be interested in are still playing, whether those are college coaches or NFL coaches. So he will be playing that out. He has got to recruit the current players, the roster, the players who have entered the transfer portal, and if he evaluates them and decides he wants them to come back, he's got to re-recruit them, and of course, high school players. So everybody now recognizes that obtaining personnel now is a two-pronged effort in college football. It's recruiting high school players, and it's recruiting out of the portal. And he has, in addition to designating Freddie Kitchens as his first assistant coach, he has also designated Michael Lombardi, a longtime NFL personnel scout, personnel official, general manager, as the team's general manager. So they are working hard to evaluate the portal, see who they want to offer, see who they can recruit, see who they can bring into campus for visits. So it's going to be he will not be involved in coaching for the bowl game, but he will be involved in player evaluation, personnel evaluation, staff hiring, and he's got a lot going on.
Well, Lee, one thing that we heard for a few days when we heard this being bandied about was that there was a succession plan that was being discussed. We haven't heard that as it relates to Steve Belichick. Do you still think that's a possibility, or has that been widely ignored since we've had things formally announced?
You know, now that you mention it, that hardly came up today at all. So there was no discussion of that and no addressing that issue by either Lee Roberts, the chancellor, or Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director, or Coach Belichick himself.
When you think about what this looks like for North Carolina, we know about the success across all of the programs, football, no ACC championships since 1980, but you can think about things from softball, and we can go on and on. UNC is certainly known for its athletics. How has he been received by the community at large?
With open arms, I would say. I mentioned my book earlier. I had to go to the warehouse and pick up some extra books today, and Johnny T-Shirt is the purveyor who handles my book distribution, and I was talking with the proprietor there, and they have a shop on Franklin Street, and she said it's just the energy in the shop and talking to people on the telephone calling to place orders. There's just a lot more energy. I've heard from people that are upping their Rams Club contributions, that are lining up for season tickets. So there's just a lot of energy. There's just a lot of frustration over the last couple of years, particularly having a 6-6 season this past year, last year skyrocketing to the top 10 and then falling so badly toward the end of the year. I think that sour taste is worn off on people's mind, and now there's just a major re-energizing of the fan base.
Well, Mack Brown was just here a couple weeks ago. Has anybody checked in on him? I know he wanted to stay. They gave him the boot. Is he on vacation? What's the latest with Mack? Does anybody know?
He is, I think, planning to move back to Austin, Texas, and maintain his long-term home in Linville, North Carolina, that he and his wife have had for many, many years.
Good for him. Now, it is 2024, Lee. We're staring at 2025. If I hit the fast forward button to 2030, what do you think will have happened during Bill Belichick's tenure? What do you think is most likely to take place?
Wow. Let's fast forward to maybe 2027, 2028. I think he will do what he says he's going to do. I think he'll have the Tar Heels in the playoffs. He talked about wanting to win a championship. So many things go into that. There's a lot of luck. There's momentum. There's injuries. Just the bounce of the ball toward the end of the game. But if he can get the Tar Heels seated in one of those four positions in the next several years, I think that would be a rousing success. And I don't think that is out of the contrary. Carolina, the last 30 years, J.R., Mack Brown's last 2 years, they had one of the best defenses ever in college football. They gave up an average of 11 points a game and 210 yards a game over 2 years. Just incredible defenses. And over the last 3 or 4 years with Sam Howell, with Drake May, with Amarian Hampton, having had incredible offenses. So you can do it on both sides of the ball at Chapel Hill. You just got to do it together. And I think that's Bill Belichick's challenge, is to do what Mack Brown did in defense in the 90s, do what Mack Brown did on offense the last few years, what Larry Fedora did on offense in 2015, what Butch Davis was on his way to doing on defense when he was here, 2008, 9, and 10. Do it on both sides of the ball. I think it's possible, and I think it's going to be fun to see if Bill can do it here.
I will certainly be tuned in, as I know many people will be as well. Hey, Lee, how can we keep up with you, all of your works? I know you're an accomplished author. Fill us in. We want to know.
Well, you can follow me at Lee Page Tweet and check in on GoHeels.com. I'll have a story posted hopefully by midday tomorrow on the Bill Belichick story and how he's fitting into Carolina.
Thank you so much. Hey, Lee, enjoy it. It's going to be a fun cover. Happy holidays to you, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a good night.
You as well. That Lee Pace, UNC sideline reporter, accomplished author. Go ahead and check out lead pace. I think it's going to work out for Belichick in Chapel Hill. I'm looking forward to it. Bill Belichick standing around in a Michael Jordan sleeveless hoodie. Okay. I think that's going to be fun. Be fun when they start winning, too. The whole thing is going to be fun. It's entertainment. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, Lee talked about Bill Belichick. If he wins an ACC championship, then we're going to automatically see him in the playoff. Well, that's the current iteration of the college football playoff. That is not necessarily a guarantee. I'm going to explain on the other side, because we know every year, every few years, it seems like things change when it comes down to the college football playoff. We might be getting rid of byes. Yeah, conference champion, yeah, you get in, but they may not necessarily be a bye. I will explain on the other side. Of course, Thursday night football getting ready to kick off in about 25 to 30 minutes from now between the Rams and the Niners. I do have some information to share with you. Speaking of media and the new world that Bill Belichick joined, seems like everybody hates ESPN. We got a lot to do.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Lee Pace, UNC sideline reporter, for joining us in the last break to talk about the newest head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Bill Belichick. We'll talk more about Belichick later on in the show. We got coaches, got people in the NFL. Everybody has an opinion, right? Thank God we get paid for ours. But everybody has an opinion on what Bill Belichick will or might do on the college level. And we'll talk more about that later on in the show. Thank you again to Lee Pace for joining us. One point that Lee brought up is that for a football program that hasn't won an ACC championship since 1980, that if they did win an ACC title, Hickey, this even sounds weird to say. Like putting North Carolina and title anything in the same sentence is just, I don't want to go as far or to the extent of like Lions and Super Bowl, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, what, 44 years since they won the ACC, which is, I mean, of the power conferences, right, the easiest, usually the most open. And the fact they've never broken through since 1980, you're right. Like, it's just you never, ever think of North Carolina football, at least, and championship success.
No, you always think about the basketball. You never think about the football because the success, it hasn't been there. And so we talked about what the future success might look like for Bill Belichick. And obviously you win a conference championship with the new college football playoff format. You are basically set up to get into that top 12. Now, whether or not things expand even more after that, are we moving from 12 to 13? Well, not 13, but 14, 16. I hope not, but it appears that we might have another change in the college football playoff before that. We know in this current 12-team format, you get conference champions, they automatically get in, and then the top four conference champs, they automatically get a bye. And so people are taking a look, and I think justifiably so. The rules are the rules, you live by them, and that's just what it is. You know, Boise State coming out of the Mountain West and securing a bye has people going, well, come on now. The Mountain West isn't exactly the SEC or the Big Ten. And so it's not necessarily the fairest thing in the world that you have a lesser conference that can just automatically just poof, go on ahead. And so I want you to take a listen to this clip, because this was earlier today on the Dan Patrick Show. And Dan Patrick basically said that this bye system, it might be gone before we know it.
Here is what my source says. This is next season, as early as next season. The most practical solution for the 12-team playoff would be a true final rankings to determine the matchups. So the four highest-ranked teams will get a bye. This isn't about conference championships. Conference championships get you in. That doesn't mean you get a first-round bye.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, right? Like, we got to throw everybody's been thrown a bone already. We've gone from four teams now to 12. Right, that's why I'm like everybody who wants to whine and complain and moan, oh, we didn't get in. Everybody at Alabama, they just need to relax. Because in most cases, y'all wouldn't have made it in. You want to make it in and win some games. Don't get beat by the Sooners at the end of the year. That's your own fault. But let's get the conference stuff out of here. Like, let's get that over with. Arizona State has a bye over Texas. And that's just because of the rules, okay? We got Boise State who has a bye over Penn State. And that's just because of the rules. Just go ahead by the rankings. As simple as that. Hickey, do you agree or do you want to keep this what we got this year?
No, I agree. I mean, I like the idea initially because you want to make conference championship weekend still matter, right? And still making your conference championship mean something. So, yeah, but you see how it works out. You see the power conferences in general. I don't hate it. The idea of reseeding and just giving the buys based on the top four. Unless you want to reseed the buys, where again, Oregon plays the worst team that wins in week, you know, in the first round and then et cetera, et cetera. But this current system where you kind of slotted in and locked in definitely has to change.
Yeah, but I think the conference titles still matter. I mean, let's look at what happened in regards to the ACC. Even though that only one team is going to win the championship, you still move into the space of, well, who beat who and who had strength of schedule. It can almost be a certainty. A little bit more that you're still going to make the playoff, but that it won't necessarily guarantee you a bye. I mean, there wasn't necessarily a bye unless you were seated higher. So I don't think the championship games, the conference championships, I don't think they necessarily lose as much juice.
Some do, some don't. Like, for example, if you just go by, if you use this year's rankings, right? It's okay, the top four teams get a bye. Well, that would be, in no order, Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State. I actually think just put them
correct
there.
You did. You did.
Which are SEC and Big Ten teams that played for the conference championship. So you would, in essence, say, okay, well, it doesn't really matter who wins the SEC. It doesn't really matter who wins the Big Ten. You're guaranteed a bye. Now it's you want to be one or three, two or four. Again, like, if that's one of the losses, okay, I don't need conference championship weekend to be the be-all, end-all. That's one of the sacrifices I'm willing to make for an expanded playoff. And I think it's, again, there's more benefits.
You want a 16-team playoff?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry, I'm just expanded.
Oh.
Like, expanded playoff from 4 to 12, where the conference championship game really did mean something, right? Because usually that could be the only way you get in. I'm fine with that not meaning much. I'm totally okay with that. But that's what would happen, right? If we go this year, SEC championship means nothing. Big Ten championship means nothing. All four of those teams in those games would have a first-round bye.
It can. Let's say Texas and Georgia, let's say one of the teams beats the living hell out of each other. Maybe they don't end up in that top four. That's not a guarantee, right? Or am I bugging?
No, you're right. Like, if Penn State got blown out, you know, when it was 20-10 and things just got worse, they're not going to drop just one or two spots to four. You're right. They probably drop out of the bye. Like,
but
sure.
I agree. There's a whole lot much uncertain. Yeah, we're going to reach games, but let's also be honest. We want these games to matter now because we're going towards the playoff. Hickey, we got a bunch of games coming up over the next several weeks that don't matter. Like, this is the structure of college football, not necessarily in a playoff, but just looking at the bowl games, like, who cares? Who cares? We got a bunch of second-place teams from conferences playing each other. Like, who cares? Isn't this is what people are used to, I believe, and people are still going to watch and show up.
No, you're right. You're right. Maybe not show up as much now for conference championships, at least, but no.
Pop-Tart's bowl in Florida.
Okay. And the Duke's mail. Listen, I'll tell you this.
No, not the mayonnaise bowl.
If North Carolina next year is in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Because they're going to be, they ain't winning. They're going to be like second to third place, yes.
Right. I will guarantee a sellout. And you know what? I may be there. We should probably do the show live from Charlotte.
Wouldn't they have to be second in the ACC? They'd have to be number two, right?
I don't know exactly how it works. I think you do get kind of, I mean, I don't think the Duke's Mayo Bowl is exactly the bowl game everyone's looking to get into.
Right.
It is a little bit of one of those funkier ones where.
Yeah, but you can't. You're not going to be. You're going to be good, but not good enough to get to a.
Eight and four.
Yeah.
So if Bill Belichick next year goes 8-4, he's in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I think we should do the show live from there.
You want to see Bill Belichick in mayonnaise
in the worst way. Honestly, I think I need that more than I need air.
You think they'll do that?
Oh, you kidding me?
You think he'll do it?
Wow, that's a different story. That's fascinating to see.
They will find some type of way around that for Belichick. He will dodge or move and smile, but I don't know. Maybe he'll throw his hoodie in and walk away. I doubt we see that. This is Bill Belichick. This is the man of no fun. Now, if it's, never mind. I'm going to leave his, I'm just going to stay out of that one. Okay. You know, I don't know. You got to make it fun some type of way for Belichick, okay? Got to make it fun. I know people have fun all types of ways. Okay. None of my business. So the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're minutes away from kickoff. Thursday night football between the 49ers and Rams. I'm going to tell you about some other folks that are not having fun. Don't move.